Welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm Len Anderson, sitting in for Charles Wolford. And I'm very happy to be here today because Charles selected a topic I'm eager to learn more about, and I think you will be too. It's hard to find an Anchorage or a South Central Alaska resident, maybe an Alaska resident, not familiar with the passenger portion of Anchorage's Ted Stevens International Airport. And if we've lived here any length of time, we've seen that part of the airport grow and grow and remodel and grow and grow, ever larger, physically and economically. What most of us are much less apt to be familiar with is the cargo and refueling and other service aspects at the airport. Yet it's precisely the element that Anchorage's airport that has resulted in the facility being recognized as one of the busiest and most efficient on an international scale. And important to us, it's a big part of Anchorage's economy. Our topic today at Hometown Alaska, what is happening in that part of the airport most of us never see? And we have two excellent guides for today's topic, each of whom has his own particular experiences and knowledge. Bill Popp, back again to Hometown Alaska, is president and executive director of Anchorage Economic Development Corporation. The nonprofit organization watches closely the economic trends of Anchorage and to degree the region, as well as promotes Anchorage on a national and international scale, extolling the benefits of doing business here, if not relocating here. Even every January, Bill presents an overview of the previous year's Anchorage economy divided into employment sections, coupled to a prediction for the upcoming year. And then sometimes in the summer, I think, offers a prediction adjustment if necessary. Is that, Bill is fully aware of the financial and employment importance of the cargo sector of Anchorage's Ted Stevens International. Welcome, Bill.
It's good to be here, Len.
And our second guest, Brian Bailey, brings a more hands-on approach to the topic. Brian is the Anchorage, Los Angeles chief pilot for Federal Express. He's based here in Anchorage. Although when I received my first email from him, I think you were several thousand feet above Minneapolis-St. Paul going 500 miles an hour. Is that correct?
Yeah. That's correct. Yeah. It's new technology.
Yeah. Well, it was a new form of email for me. Brian Bailey has been with FedEx for 25 years. He's flown over 15,000 hours of flight time. And for the airplane enthusiasts among our listeners, he's flown the B-727, DC-10, MD-11, and thanks to the Air Force Reserve, F-4s and F-16s. He's also a standards check airman and an instructor. Welcome, Brian.
Good to be here, Len. Thanks for inviting me.
And I want to remind the listener that you, too, are a guest as well, at least during the afternoon broadcast when we're live, and you can call in with a question or a comment about the impact of air cargo on the economy of Anchorage, or perhaps your own personal family economy. The numbers to call for the 2 p.m. airing are locally 550-8433 or outside Anchorage 1-888-353-5752. You can also email with a question or observation. Send it to Hometown Alaska, all lowercase, hometownalaska at kska.org. Now, as Hometown regulars know, those numbers are only good in the afternoon. The evening broadcast is a recorded re-airing, and phone calls are not taken. Brian, the email alone prompts this first question. What's it like being a pilot for FedEx? Could you describe like a typical week? You don't have to give the total mileage, but we'll take that too.
Well, you know, the first thing that when you talk about pilots being typical, it's nothing's typical. It changes every day and changes every week. So there are no weeks. There's no weekends off scheduled all the time. We have vacations. We have time off depending on the schedule. But the best way to describe it is it's atypical.
So where have you been this week? The last 7 days
I was fortunate enough to go on a charter that was just originally originated on Monday morning from Zagreb, Croatia. So I flew from Zagreb to Philadelphia. And then the next day is when I emailed you. I was on a U.S. Airways plane from Philadelphia en route to Seattle. And then yesterday afternoon, caught an Alaska Airlines flight at the conclusion of all that charter work, and then just flew back up here and got home last night.
How'd you get to Zagreb?
I flew from here to Seattle, Seattle on Lufthansa to Frankfurt, Germany, and then connected there and went to Zagreb.
That, now, that would be somewhat, well, I was going to say atypical, but you've established there is no typical. So if you're not flying, do you fly purely for FedEx in a week, just getting in that plane and flying around, or how does it work?
Well, in that case, this was we had to meet a charter that that a company had requested, and the company had a spare airplane that has forecast to be free and available, so they put it to work. And when they put it to work, then they had to generate schedules for the pilots to fly the airplane, and then I was fortunate enough to go on one of those charters itself. It was typical, off the schedule from FedEx's normal routine, and we do that charter work. It comprises probably about maybe 2% of our whole business.
When you say charter, what does that mean? I mean, I know what a charter is from on a passenger point of view.
Well, we have typical scheduled routes, you know, that the corporation flies their jets from A to B, and this is not a typical route at all. We do not service with an aircraft Zagreb commercially at this time, just based on the volume levels. But right now, with that particular one customer needed to have his product delivered to the States, and it was 100,000 pounds of freight, and we flew it for him, and he's happy, we're happy, and so it was all forecast and scheduled and made happen all within about 10 days from when they requested it.
Wow, that's a little beyond the old Alaska Airlines gold streak that I used to sit in gossip you. Where all have you flown while based here in Anchorage?
All over the world. The only thing I can say that I haven't flown since I've been based up here in Anchorage is down into – I've never been to Australia as a pilot, and it's just a seniority thing how guys get to go down to Australia. And I've never been in the MD-11 down to South America, but we do service South America and we do service Australia.
And before coming here, where were you?
At the Air Force. So United States Air Force. I flew in the Air National Guard in San Antonio, Texas.
So when you joined FedEx, you came here, or?
When I joined FedEx, I still flew in the reserves at the Air National Guard down in San Antonio, but then I commuted from San Antonio, where I live, to Memphis to pick up my trips.
Oh, so then, and then eventually you became based here?
Based up here. Finished my reserves out at Elmendorf Air Force Base, and then when I retired in 2002, became an instructor and then worked my way up, and I'm now at the chief pilot level.
Just because we have an Anchorage promoter here and no other reason, that's not true. Is to get stationed in Anchorage, is that a matter of seniority?
It is.
Are we a good place to be?
Well, in pilot talk, seniority is everything. It controls your schedule, your time off, your benefits, any vacation you might have, any schedule you might want to fly, destinations you want to fly, time of day you want to fly. Seniority is everything within our corporation at the pilot level.
And so you pull seniority to get here?
At the time, I was it also controls the seats that you bid. So the company puts out an equipment seat bid, and those are opportunities to, i.e., improve your schedule, make more money. So it depends on there's overall seniority, and then there's seat seniority in the airplane and domicile that you fly in. So it was an opportunity for me, and I'd been here, and I pitched the idea to my wife, and she was up for it, and we moved the whole family out.
That was an important pitch.
Sure.
I know every time I drive down Northern Lights, no matter how many times I've done it, and I turn onto Postmark Drive, there is Federal Express looming high, looming large, jets and everything else. Approximately how many flights does FedEx send through Anchorage in the course of a week or whatever?
Almost 100 flights a week come in, and some days are larger volumes, what they're doing is they're capitalizing on the international time dateline. So what they do, we had talked earlier about 777s, the 777s that fly that we just acquired. They're our largest airplanes. They typically overfly on a west to east basis. They'll overfly Anchorage, but on an east to west basis, they'll stop in Anchorage for fuel just to take advantage of the dateline, because basically they're leaving the States on a Friday and then they're arriving you know, on a Saturday. So they take advantage of that dateline and anytime, because we're always the world on time is our slogan. So we're always trying to capitalize on that if we can.
So Anchorage's position relative to the dateline is actually good for some cargo shipping?
Geographically, it's a perfect storm. It works out great for everybody. It's a fuel stop. Even the nonstop flights that take off and go from that are passenger flights that would go from, say, Minneapolis to Tokyo, they still fly right over Anchorage just because they're taking advantage of the Great Circle route.
Huh. Bill, how many carriers and flights approximately do we average, including now the 100? How many carriers and flights do we average in a week of national and international flights, cargo flights?
Yeah, well, we're averaging about 600 wide-body landings a week right now, and that's up quite a bit from where we were during the peak of the global recession. We saw quite a decline beginning in 2007. If you want to watch the national economy and know how it's doing, watch how cargo transit volumes are doing at Anchorage International Airport, because we had a clear indication that there was trouble on the horizon for the national economy and the global economy when we started to see volumes decline quite a bit in 2007 and basically kind of almost go into free fall in 2008 through early 2009 when things really started to manifest themselves. The last quarter of 2009, we saw a big resurgence, and that was when we knew things looked like they were going to start turning around for the national economy. We dropped down to below 500 flights a week at the bottom, but we're now back up to nearly 600 flights a week on average, and that's representative of about 50 different air carriers that are transiting through Anchorage on a regular basis.
That's 50 national and international carriers?
National and international. The numbers, I always like to double-check my notes because I don't want to get this wrong. We've got 30 domestic carriers that are working with us, and we've got 20 international carriers that are transiting through Anchorage International pretty much on a weekly basis.
And that doesn't even count the in-state cargo.
This is certainly used
in Kotzebue and used down here to send stuff up.
This is strictly wide body, Boeing, Airbus, those types of aircraft.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Hometown Alaska here on KSKA. Today's topic is the cargo aspect, the economic, job employment, financial importance, everything that the cargo shipping means to Anchorage International Airport. Have you worked out at a cargo and service area of Anchorage's International Airport? What was it like for you? Was it hard adjusting to strange schedules? Or did you enjoy the work? You could call us at 550-8433. That's local. Or if you're outside of Anchorage, 1-888-353-5752. Or shoot off an email, hometownalaska@ksKA.org. What sort of employment does the airport represent to us? And if you can divide it between the passenger and the cargo section.
Well, we don't break it down quite to that level of detail because then we start getting into basically proprietary information for a lot of the companies. And we try not to speak for the companies on their specific business plans or their business activities. But with an aggregate number, you can look at 1 out of 8 jobs in the Anchorage economy are accounted for by operations at the Anchorage International Airport, either directly or indirectly. I mean, and that is a broad range of jobs. That's people working in the restaurants or providing the maintenance services in the terminal, or guys on the flight line doing the refuel, the baggage handling, the cargo loading. That includes our good partner companies like FedEx or UPS or Linden International, any number of different companies that are based in Anchorage with fairly large operations. I mean, we have freight forwarders, we have air cargo carriers, we have some production work out there that takes advantage of the airport. It's a very, very important center for our economy.
Do you find having an airport that is as active in cargo handling and good passenger connections that works well when you try to induce a business to come to Anchorage?
It makes an important difference. I mean, you know, if you're in business, how do you get there and how expensive is it to get there? So whether it's getting people there or getting cargo there, that's important. You know, some companies, air cargo just flat doesn't work. You know, you're going to be talking things like retail, grocery stores on most of their product lines. But when you're talking about high dollar equipment that needs to be handled very carefully, air cargo tends to be a very good way to go, as well as cargo that absolutely positively has to be there tomorrow. You know, on-time delivery, air cargo is going to be extremely important. And with the logistics hub that we offer, where Anchorage International Airport is basically 9.5 hours strategically and geographically located from 90% of the industrialized world, that gives us a very unique advantage over most other airports globally.
I was just thinking when you mentioned retail living in Kotzebue, when 3 days of fog being sucked in or 5 days of cold made a decided difference in more recent years on what the grocery shelves look like.
Well, beneficially here in Anchorage, Anchorage International Airport has an incredibly high-quality record of staying open in some fairly adverse conditions, comparatively speaking, because of the high quality of operations. Snow removal in particular is something that the airport is very, very proud of and has received a number of international awards for the quality of their snow removal. You know, it generally takes a pretty serious fog or wind event to really impact Anchorage International Airport. I'm sure Brian can talk about that a little bit. I mean, because their operations are most definitely impacted by the ability of the airport to stay open.
And even today, this summer's construction season that we all see on the roads in and around Alaska, right now even the airport is capitalizing on that. They've closed actually one of the runways out there. They're taking, it's the second phase of a two-year project, and they're actually resurfacing runway 7 right and extending it westbound another 1,500 feet. So it'll be a longer runway when they're complete in October. And we're down to basically two pieces of concrete to land on right now at the airport, and a reduced instrument landing system capability, which lowers our visibility requirements coming in here. But once again, we don't run into those problems as much in the summertime as we ever do in the wintertime.
And that expansion, by the way, is so that they can handle the larger class of aircraft that are starting to roll out globally, the A380 from Airbus and the new 747-8, which is the new generation of 747. So that's an important addition to the airport to allow us to handle even bigger and longer haul aircraft.
Besides location, is something like Bill was mentioning the airport's ability to keep going in adverse weather and that sort of thing, is that something FedEx considered when it establish this hub?
Yeah, certainly their reputation for efficiency up here. It has never been closed for any length of time for any kind of weather related incident from my knowledge. The only time I can remember was when I was a DC-10 co-pilot, and I was stuck up here on a layover for 3 days when the airport was closed because of Mount Spur when it blew, and it just fogged over. If you recall those days,
I remember. I remember. We have our own family experiences trying to cope with.
That's the only time I remember it being closed.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And then the advantage that we have with the international airport system that we have is that we have Fairbanks International Airport available as a backup to Anchorage International Airport. It's not, you know, by any means an absolutely perfect solution, but it is definitely there and offers, you know, in the ability to still perform the basic functions that a lot of these air carriers use Anchorage for, which is to put less fuel on the plane at the point of origin so that they can put more cargo on the plane and make the flight more profitable. And so in the event of bad weather or whatever the circumstance may be, they can go to Fairbanks and still refuel, even if we do have a volcanic eruption.
We have a caller who, Seth, who has a cargo comment for you, for the gentleman here. Seth, welcome to Hometown Alaska.
Well, thank you. I work for a local operator. We do deliveries for UPS forwarding, and we do a lot of heavy freight for a lot of local businesses, including NC Machinery, Construction Machinery. Deliver a lot of engines and stuff, and I mean it's pretty busy business. We get a lot of freight in.
You like the work?
What's that?
Do you like the work?
Oh, yeah. I love it. It's a good job. I mean, I've got a pretty high security clearance, and I go through, you know, I go onto the tarmac and collect our freight and then bring it back, and it's a good job. It's a great job.
And very busy.
Yes, very busy. We expect to get a lot more busy this summer, too, so hopefully that's the expectation is met or over-exceeded.
Have any idea how many people are employed in your firm?
Well, currently, right now, it's just me and my father. We're a small business. We do anywhere from 10 to 20 stops a day, depending on the amount of freight we get in. We can average anywhere from, I don't know, about 20,000 to 50,000 pounds, depending on what we do. We also forward up to Fairbanks, out to the villages, a lot of places.
Have you noticed a pickup in recent months in business?
Oh, yes. The last couple of days, we've just been running like crazy.
Wow, that's a good call, Seth. I want to thank you for calling in. And may your business just keep you busier and busier.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Len, I want to add, you know, that's a great example. Seth's story is a great example of why Anchorage International Airport is so important to the Anchorage economy, because it's not just the big companies, although we really appreciate having those big companies in town. They make a major contribution to our economy in both employment and tax base and in economic activity. But the airport offers a lot of opportunities for the entrepreneur. Seth is a great example as a small, you know, mom and pop business, for lack of better expression. Only it's son and pop, and they're succeeding, obviously. And we have other examples like FedEx Ground. FedEx Ground actually sells a lot of their routes or franchises their routes to local business people. They purchase the routes here to deliver goods and services here in Anchorage. And it's a great opportunity for somebody who's looking to get into business for themselves. They have to equip themselves with a truck, and they have to wear the uniforms, and they have to meet FedEx Ground standards. But they are sole proprietors. They have a contract relationship with FedEx. They purchase the route, and then they manage the route. And several of them can be very, very successful and actually build multiple routes into their business model and hire more employees to drive the trucks, to do the deliveries on behalf of FedEx Ground is another example. So, you know, the airport offers opportunities for more than just the big air cargo carriers to come in and, you know, provide ground handling jobs. It also offers opportunities in the area of sole proprietorship, entrepreneurship, and the general economy. So it's an incubator for new job growth for our Anchorage economy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska. Let's get this. Are you an Anchorage business person who depends heavily on product shipments through the airport cargo division, or couldn't even run your business if there without that airport connection? Give us a call, like Seth did. Describe what's going on with your relationship with the cargo aspect of the airport. The numbers, and this, of course, is in the afternoon. In the evening, you are a more passive individual. You get to listen. But right now, you could be active and call 550-8433. That's local. And toll-free 1-888-353-5752, or email us. Email us at hometownalaska@kska.org. We did get an email, more specific than I had a general question about the development of the newer model airplanes, mm-hmm. what the impact on the airport mm-hmm. could be. This one is stated, I'll just go with this. When will FedEx's new 777s begin to adversely affect traffic stopping in Anchorage? That's for one direction, and then moving to my other guest, and what is AEDC doing about this future loss of cargo activity? We'll start with you, Brian.
I would say right now it really hasn't adversely affected the business with us right now or the airport itself. The 777s still land here anywhere from 3 to 6 a day that are transiting inbound from the lower 48 en route over to Asia. And then, but they typically, unless for some kind of weather phenomenon, that they will never fly from Asia and then stop in Anchorage. They'll just overfly us and go right to a sort facility. And what that allows them to do, and without giving out too much proprietary information out, is that just allows us to better serve the customer, and we can capitalize on that by charging accordingly, and because they get a better product, just a bit better timeliness of their product. In the future, right now, our products are changing to where we can offer a longer day product, a 3 to 5 day product, and those airplanes still will transit because the customer is capitalizing on a cheaper service, and if they don't need to have it there, you know, absolutely positively, like Bill said, the next day, then we charge accordingly, and we'll fill up an airplane and have them always stop in Anchorage en route. But right now, with the small number of 777s that we have, we put them in select markets and charge a premium for the service that they deliver.
Are we also returning to that dateline situation that we
Correct.
Mentioned earlier?
Because especially if you can visualize in your brain, you know, when a jet takes off from Asia, they're really a day. So if they take off on a Friday and they're coming back to the States, they take off on a Friday in Asia, and then they cross the dateline and they land in States on Friday. So they basically, and then they can sort out overnight and be there the very next day. So that's one way to think about how we can capitalize on that dateline.
Yeah, that works. I once was on a search flight that crossed the dateline and came back in the beginning of Glasnost and tried to charge my employer for 2 days. it did not work. Bill. Is there a fear of being flown over, or we're going to go back down to 500 or whatever as the new planes develop? Or has this been something perhaps magnified in the media a little bit?
I think that it has. And I think that with anything new, there's always a fear of the unknown, and that leads people to think perhaps a little too quickly to an end conclusion. You're running into a situation with these long-haul aircraft, as Brian just described, where they are offering a premium product for a nonstop flight. And you pay for that privilege. Well, so under the supposition the 777s are going to basically make the FedEx terminal go away, that would mean that everybody shipping from Asia now wants the premium product and is going to pay top dollar to have it there absolutely positively the next day. That's not the way it works. I mean, you know, as a business person, you know, not everything that you're shipping by any stretch of the imagination via air cargo has to be there tomorrow. They pay for different levels and qualities of product. The other piece to this, too, is that there are different classes of the 777. There's the long-haul version, which the email submitter is referencing. But there are also different class of the 777 that are designed for a shorter haul but heavier lift, carrying more product. And then there is the piece that Brian described, which is the market is demanding an even lower cost air cargo service from Asia into North America, 3 to 5 days in length. I think that all bodes well for Anchorage in the coming years. We pay attention to these long-haul flights. We are confabbing with the companies that are contracting for those aircraft. We are asking them what their plans are. Nothing that we are being made aware of yet is describing to us a scenario where Anchorage International Airport is at risk of losing its opportunity case for being a major cargo hub. We're seeing a return of tonnage. We're up 500,000 tons for 2010 compared to 2009. Our first quarter tonnage numbers this year, preliminary numbers are very strong. And the other piece to this, too, is that we are watching the number of flights, again, going up pretty dramatically. We have more air carriers signing on at Anchorage International Airport, especially the international side of the coin. We're pretty much full up in terms of the number of international carriers that we can have at Anchorage International Airport for the most part. There are no signs at this point that we are at risk in the next few years of losing our advantage. Now, obviously, as is the case with anything, technology may overtake us, but that's many, many, many years down the road, if at all.
Thank you. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to turn to one of our callers, Bill. So Be patient, Bill. This will be a short break, I promise you. That's a promise to the listener, too.
If you missed part of today's program, or if you'd like to listen again to Hometown Alaska on KSKA, the program repeats tonight at 7 on FM 91.1. Remember, tonight's rebroadcast is recorded and will not be taking phone calls. A copy of Hometown Alaska will be available this afternoon on our website at kska.org. This is KSKA Anchorage.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska and our discussion of the importance of national and international airborne shipping to Anchorage's economy. Our guests are Bill Popp, President and CEO of Anchorage Economic Development Corporation, and Brian Bailey, Chief Pilot for FedEx, who's been with the company for 25 years. And Bill has taken us up on the offer to call 550-8433 or 1-888-353-5752. Bill in Palmer, welcome.
Hi, thank you. I was just calling to let you guys know you might want to check back just a little bit farther, because back in the early 80s, I was coming back on a commercial flight from Nome, and they wound up sending us to Cordova for 4.5 hours because the airport was fogged in Anchorage.
Wow. Would that have been when they just had the single runway? That we didn't have the crosswind runway?
It was the early 80s, the real early 80s.
Yeah, 30 years ago is a long time ago. You know, in the recent couple of decades, Anchorage International Airport's had a really solid record of being able to stay open in very adverse conditions. We've had fog events. They do happen. But in terms of overall time open, in particular weather conditions like rain, thunderstorms, snow, Anchorage International has a phenomenal record compared to most other major airports.
Yeah, okay.
I remember, Bill, when Ween was coming in, which dates me right away, but it was like 81, and I don't think there was the cross runway because the pilot just popped right down, and everyone who was suffering from a cold, including a rather tough-looking fellow, had tears streaming down his eyes because he said, well, we got to go in now or we're not going in. But Cordova as an alternative, that's not altogether bad.
Yeah, we sat down there for 4.5 hours, and they had to have a guy come out and refuel the plane every little bit because they didn't have a jet engine restarter down there.
Those were the days.
Well, that could that could get a guy from Nome kind of frustrated about getting to Anchorage. I speak as a Kotzebue resident of 16 years before. Hey, thanks for calling, Bill.
Sure thing. Thank you. You have a great day.
Okay. Makes us appreciate what we've got, calls like that. Brian, you've been with FedEx for 25 years. There must be something you like about it. What are the positives and, if anything, negatives of your particular jaunts around the world, with the exception of Australia?
Well, years ago when I contemplated getting into this business, one of my mentors said the only reason we want to do this is for money, time off, and benefits. And, you know, most corporations that fly airplanes these days don't offer that. FedEx is still one of them. And so I'm most thankful to be here and happy to contribute to the corporation's bottom line whenever I can. So.
Negatives, time away from family. That's what occurred to me.
You know, time away from family is always a negative. But I don't. My wife and kids have never known anything different, so they're just used to that type of lifestyle. And in some cases, it's always good to be gone and then come back home and reacquaint with everybody. I would say the negative from a wide body pilot standpoint is just crossing the time zones and the effects that it has on your body with fatigue and circadian rhythm, you know, the way it knocks out. So that's probably one of the big negatives that you would probably get that same answer from most of the guys that that cruise the world.
Okay, we'll pause and make this a brief health show. Any advice?
Well, everybody has their own way to cope, and I've never had everybody tells me different ways, and what has worked for them never works for me. So I just cope and take naps when I can, sleep as much as I can on layovers, and try and get as much rest and hydrate, which is a big deal in tubes up at altitude when you're cruising through the sky.
That was my son's, who flies a lot. He said, keep drinking water, keep drinking water. And I was trying to, I think his company gives him per diem for water. I haven't had that experience. How has, and I think Bill brought up a point too, and you noted too, Bill who called and Bill who's in front of me here, changes. In 25 years, how has cargo flying and your job in particular changed?
Well, we basically created the industry of overnight, next day delivery. So FedEx was the one that started that. It began in 1972, and it's been going on ever since then. I joined the company in 86, and when I first started, I remember one of my first line trips. We used to walk into our little pilot area where, in the middle of the night, everything would congregate in Memphis, Tennessee, and then they would unload the airplane, sort the packages, and reload them into where the destinations are going to go. And then they used to keep a package count on what our nightly tally was, on how many packages we brought in and distributed back out. And that total, I remember, one of my first days in 1986 when I was flying the line was 345,000 packages. And I'm not even one of the old timers at our company. They remember much lower numbers than that. And now I think our peak. Peak day last Christmas, during the Christmas holidays, is when we make a lot of money, was 4.8 million packages in one night. So I've seen it go from 345,000 to 4.8 million a night, and this peak I'm sure will be even larger. So
that's impressive. And wasn't one of the signs of the recovery was coming along, and as you said, the airport is probably one of our finest barometers. Mm-hmm. The fact that international holiday shipments all of a sudden surged up this last holiday?
Not this last holiday, but the holiday before.
This happens to me all the time at my age.
The week of Thanksgiving in 2009, just a couple of days before Thanksgiving, was the busiest refueling day in the history of Anchorage International Airport. There was this incredible, unexpected surge of aircraft transiting Anchorage International Airport, bringing air cargo into North America, and it was driven by a lot of retailers who were getting very anxious about the Thanksgiving holiday weekend shopping cycle, and they put in a lot of last-minute orders for product, and it manifested itself in a huge amount of flights transiting Anchorage International Airport on their way into North America. And so, and the airport was up to the task. Everybody got refueled. Everybody got pushed out and on their way.
I guess that's one of the things I was going to ask. Does it ever get crowded up there?
Up at altitude, yes, it does. But
around Anchorage,
and people get slowed in. They have to sequence in the airplanes in and out of the airport at times. But rules changed in the past few years, where they're actually reducing the separation and the altitudes up at altitude, so they're actually allowing more airplanes to get closer and laterally and vertically separated. So it's just an extension of the technology these days. Airplanes, the navigation, is so precise these days with GPS that they can afford to have not as many lateral or vertical separations.
If you're listening this evening, cover your ears or just find something briefly to do, because it's not possible to call us at 550-8433 and have a question. But if you're listening this afternoon, my guests are fair game, and you can explore their knowledge, because I know in the case of Brian, I've just touched on the surface of what it's like to fly for FedEx or being a cargo pilot. You may have some additional questions about Brian and his job. So if you do, give us a call at 550-8433-1888-353-5752 if you're outside Anchorage. Or you can email us at hometownalaska@kska.org. And again, if you're listening in the evening, I'm sorry, that does not apply to you, but you can become more intent now. What sort of employment exists out at the airport? I mean, at the airport itself?
A lot. A lot of different jobs. I mean, there's maintenance jobs, there's for both aircraft and for ground equipment and for facilities. There are package sorting jobs. The FedEx hub at Anchorage International Airport is an incredibly busy facility and employs hundreds of people dealing with the sort, on which is when the cargo comes in on the international flights. There's a significant amount of cargo that comes off the plane here in Anchorage, gets sorted out and rerouted on other FedEx airframes and off to wherever they're headed to. And that the same is true in several other freight forwarders, whether it's Linden International or Northern Air Cargo or commodity forwarders, Alaska Airlines. All of these operators have significant workforce based at Anchorage International Airport, and there's a lot of opportunity in that field. You can explore those opportunities directly through the companies, through their websites. You can look at the opportunities through the School of Aviation at the University of Alaska. There are any number of different opportunities that can be pursued in regards to really good paying jobs. And then there's, you know, very good entry level jobs in a number of different fields, whether it's, you know, providing the services at the airport that you and I and everybody else relies on when we're flying to and from Anchorage, whether out of state or elsewhere in the state. You know, there's a lot of jobs that are generated by those services too. So there's good jobs for, you know, young people just entering the job market also.
That's what I was thinking. You have a wide range of expertise, someone like Brian here, but we are a community that is drawing people from in-state, from the country, and internationally. And when you go out there, it seems like this is one facility that's offering a lot of initial employment. Mm-hmm. We're going to go. Apparently, someone has a pilot question. In fact, Vince here in Anchorage has a question for you. Welcome, Vince.
Hi.
What's your question?
I have two questions, actually. One, you were saying you carry a lot of stuff out of the Orient into the North America. What do you carry back, if anything? And two, I assume we're using Anchorage because we're kind of heavy and need stuff for fuel, but is there a potentiality someday that they have the range where you don't need the stuff?
Okay, Vince, we kind of touched on that, but we'll the second question, but we can quickly review that. Brian?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Vince. The type of products that we carry back from North America to Asia, or anything and everything that they need to manufacture their product, or maybe it would just be a North American product that they reassemble in Asia, and then it's just flown back and forth. The kind of the concept that is going around these days within business is they use the various cargo companies, and FedEx is one of many, that they use them as just basically flying warehouses. They'll, you know, fly the parts over. They'll get assembled over there where labor is cheaper. They're taking advantage of that. And instead of having it in a warehouse back in North America or a warehouse in Asia where the products sit there, they move them over there, they assemble them, and move them right back.
So the problem staying just about as full both ways, huh?
It pretty much so. Yeah, it's always just a little bit fuller coming eastbound to North America, but we do make a considerable amount of money with people that are buying North American products too. That and they all like to have good American made products too that they can profit from.
I'd also add to that Vince, and this is a great question, Vince, because a lot of people don't realize how much is outbound from not only North America, but also from Alaska. In the summertime, last year was the first time in memory that our air cargo freight forwarders were having difficulty getting lift capacity to move fresh salmon out of the state because the outbound flights going into Asia were mostly full, and it was creating some initial problems. Eventually, they were overcome, but getting fish out of Alaska was a bit of a challenge last year because the aircraft were, you know, they were full or mostly full, headed over towards Asia.
Do you remember how it was overcome?
More aircraft, you know, working with the air cargo companies, the air cargo airlines, and even the passenger airlines, because a lot of people don't realize there's cargo in most passenger flights coming to and from Anchorage in the belly cargo capacity. As an example, we're working with JetBlue right now. They're getting ready to enter the Alaska market later this month. In fact, next week. And they, JetBlue cargo folks, are very excited about the opportunity to get a little bit of additional lift capacity, about 6,000 pounds a day worth of additional lift capacity that's going to be able to go out of Anchorage and into Long Beach. So pretty, you know, but that's what happens. I mean, you know, the market will help to drive capacity.
So it's not just bulkhead in a bush flight.
No.
at any rate, maybe before we go to Chris in Eagle River, maybe just briefly answer a quick summary of Vince's question about overnight. You already did it, but
right.
one or two summary.
You bet.
Summary.
As we mentioned before, at this point, given what's going on and the fact that an overflight aircraft is most likely going to be a premium product, we don't see that on the horizon as an immediate threat to Anchorage International Airport's position in the global air cargo industry. We continue to see some fairly positive outlooks for the coming years. You know, obviously, technology could change that further down the road with innovations that we're not aware of today. But right now, the signs are pointing towards a continued robust cargo industry at Anchorage International Airport for years to come.
We're going to turn now to Chris in Eagle River, who has a question concerning radiation exposure. Ready for you to explain that one, Chris.
Yes, good afternoon. I was wondering if you've had any, like if you've ever looked into the health concerns of the additional radiation exposure that you get from being higher up in the atmosphere, because I know that when you ride higher in the atmosphere in an aircraft, you're less shielded by the Earth's atmosphere, so you're exposed to more, like, extraterrestrial radiation or cosmic radiation.
Brian, I'm going to leap to the conclusion that this one is directed at you because Bill Popp is a man whose feet are always solidly on the ground.
Thanks, Chris, for the question. Yeah, that's why I've got this permanent suntan on my face there from all that radiation. But, you know, the FAA, all the doctors and stuff say it's no more than just an X-ray at a minimum time at, you know, for any kind of exposure up there. You are right that the higher you go, the greater exposure there is. But for the most part, the way we mitigate that at my company is since day one, all the pilots are issued on a monthly basis a radiation collection device, and it's basically just a piece of film. And that film gets turned in on a monthly basis and reissued again, and they track that on the pilots throughout their career. And if there's any undue excess levels of radiation, it's identified and then the pilot's brought in. And as long as I've been with the company, I don't recall anybody being called in. But at our company, we do monitor it, and it's tracked, and we're prepared for it in case something does happen.
Thank you, Chris, for a question that you certainly caused a learning experience for two of us here in the studio. Thank you very much, Chris.
Well, thank you very much. It's very interesting. Thanks.
I have a question then that it just occurred to me, and I'm reaching back now when they were planning an elementary school or looking for a site, it's been 5-6 years ago, close to the airport, and one of the questions which came up, and this may be out of your bailiwick, so that'd be fine, is someone was concerned, is there pollution from our highly successful airport? Is it ever monitored? We have all these planes going in and out.
You know, I don't have the answer to that question, Len. I don't. I mean, I have a memory of it, but I'm sitting here not prepared to answer that question, so I'm going to go ahead, rather than potentially saying something that's not right, I'm not going to say anything at all.
Okay, Charles, you got another topic sometime. but Bill and Brian are not your guests. And I don't remember that anybody had an answer to it when it came up and they found a site and that sort of thing.
Were you specifically talking about noise pollution?
No, not noise pollution, okay. Air pollution. I'm sorry.
Okay.
No,
because there is a division of the city that actually monitors noise pollution.
Yeah. No, this was air pollution concerns, and if anybody was ever measuring such things at any airport or anything. Going to turn to Alex now, who is here in Anchorage and has a plane question. Alex, what's your question?
Thanks for taking my call. Yes, I was wondering if the Anatol 225 has ever been to Anchorage.
You know, thanks for the question. I don't recall what an Anatol 225 is. Can you better explain that or just describe it to me?
It's the world's biggest Russian cargo plane, or used to be owned by Russia. It's now by a Polish cargo plane.
Does it?
Antovo.
Does it have six engines on board it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I think I have seen that in Anchorage once or twice. And usually they're carrying some kind of oddball oversized freight, and I think I recall asking the question, what is that airplane carrying? And it was at the time they told me it was part of a drilling rig that was going to the Russian Far East, you know, out on the Kamchatka Peninsula or something, where Shell's doing some exploration over there.
And now that you've described it, I saw the aircraft when it came through. It has been on the ground at Anchorage International.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely impressed me.
How much larger is it than what?
Well, it's got six engines, and there's no U.S. airplane that has six engines, and but it's basically, you know, it looks like a C-5, but larger, and a military C-5, and it's got three engines on each underneath each wing.
I was just thinking, for someone who's flown as much as you, to ask a question and somewhat amazed, but that's. Quite a tribute to that plane, and I guess to our importance as an international airport.
Well, you bet. As another, you know, just another interesting factoid, I forget the exact name of the aircraft, but there is a Boeing 747 that's been modified that you may see it land at Anchorage International every now and then. It kind of looks like a giant guppy. It's the body, you know, normally where you've got that kind of hump near the head of the 747, it actually gets bigger as it goes back towards the back of the aircraft. And this is an aircraft that opens at the tail, and it's the aircraft that is hauling in the wings for the new 787, the composite wings from Asia, as part of Boeing's new manufacturing process. So when you see that big aircraft coming through, you'll know, I think it's called the Dreamlifter, and it comes through on a fairly regular basis, hauling in wings.
I'm beginning to think that we should have for Anchorage International Airport, for both passengers and especially cargo, the equivalent of birders, where you could have a book and identify, and then AEDC should have some sort of prize when you complete
for the most unique aircraft?
No, just if you have a whole collection, like a bird book. Yeah, we do have time to certainly get in Carol's call from Anchorage. Welcome to Hometown Alaska, Carol.
Thank you for taking my call. And first of all, thank you to the gentleman representing the airport for all of the wonderful courtesy my family has experienced flying in and out of the airport over the years. And number two, thank you to the gentleman from FedEx, because what would Christmas be like if I wasn't sitting on the FedEx floor in the lobby taping up the package for the last flight out of Anchorage before Christmas? You guys have always done a wonderful job anytime I've used you, whether I'm shipping salmon or other gifts from Anchorage. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate customers like you. Thank you very much.
Just for someone who's a procrastinator, how late can you pull this thing off when you're sitting on the floor in FedEx? She's gone.
Oh, we lost her.
I could use, and that's true for international too, right?
Correct. Exactly.
Okay. I guess. Let me make sure that we get this. We've been talking for nearly an hour now. Is there anything we're missing for either of you on this topic? And I will plead ignorance on my part.
Well, I think that, you know, I'd like to hear Brian talk just a little bit more about the career pathways that are available at FedEx, because I think it's important for folks in Anchorage to understand that this is a active company with a very engaged company in the community, and is a great example of the engagement that we get from most of our companies out at Anchorage International Airport that are making use of it. And I just I'd love to hear Brian just touch a little bit more about, you know, why he thinks that FedEx is a great company to work for.
It's a great company. They always their motto is people, service, profit, and they try and do it in that order, and they absolutely do look out for their young. They try and promote from within. We have several pilots on our seniority list up at Anchorage that started as handlers and in the hub themselves, and they've gotten their experience, their flight time elsewhere, and they've also you know, gotten tuition reimbursement as starting off at the lowest level of employee that we have, and they work their way up. And FedEx always hires, if they are going to hire a pilot, before they start hiring pilots off the street, they always put out job opportunities within the corporation. And if you have the minimum qualifications and you're an employee, you're going to go to the top of the list for that particular job. Doesn't mean you're going to get the job, but you got the first interview opportunity. And we have several pilots on our seniority list in Anchorage that have realized their dreams and started with the company from day one at the bottom of the employment ladder and worked their way up. And we've got I can think of two captains right now that are MD-11 captains out here that started after me. Started non-military types and military types that have started with our company at the bottom and worked their way up.
How many employees are out in Anchorage?
In Anchorage, about 2,500 total. And
2,500.
That includes the pilots and all the ground personnel, too, and the sort facility and couriers as well.
Mostly full-time positions?
No. A lot of the hub sorting positions are part-time, but a part-time employee at FedEx typically goes from anywhere from 30 to 35 hours a week, which is... And that's still with good benefits at the same time frame, and to include tuition reimbursement for some students out there that are looking to help out with their college costs.
I think there's a lot of long-term employment, good employment at the airport that I know people who I first saw working for an airline in Kotzebue who, for various reasons, might have transferred down here, and I still encounter them either behind the counter or when I go to pick up some package or something else in the airline cargo section.
And Lynn, I really believe that Anchorage International Airport's got a bright future. And, you know, one of the assets that is coming back into the fold at the airport is the Kulis Air Guard property. That's 130 acres of high value on the tarmac property with millions of dollars worth of infrastructure that through the base closing process, the BRAC commission process, is being transferred back to the state of Alaska and to the ownership of the state with all of those assets in place. And that is a crown jewel for Anchorage International Airport that's a little in the rough, but that is being developed. And we're very excited about that opportunity, too. That's going to bring more jobs to the Anchorage economy.
Well, leave it to Bill Popp to end us on a positive note, which has pretty much marked this whole show. Gentlemen, it's time for us to fly out of here. Sorry. Thanks to my guests, Brian Bailey, Bill Popp. Join us next Wednesday at 2 p.m. for another edition of Hometown Alaska here on KSKA Anchorage. Your host, Kathleen McCoy, and her guests will be talking about landscaping in the last frontier. Pat Yak is the Vice President of Public Media. Today's technical guru and phone person was David Waldron. This is Len Anderson. Thank you for listening.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated, which is solely responsible for its content. Theme music for Hometown Alaska is Lead Dog, composed and performed by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Views expressed on Hometown Alaska are those of the participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. Today's program is available on our website at kska.org, and CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400. This is KSKA Anchorage.